a child who's seriously unwell and is being given multiple drugs, so they're really at risk of a really bad allergic reaction.
And what's really, really important is to make sure we don't miss the anaphylaxis. If we don't delabel these children, we are setting them up for further resistance, and as we've been hearing today, this is not the way we want to go.
We've all been there and we've spotted sepsis, we've sorted out the emergency management, we've got the antibiotics, and boom, the parent of the child says, oh, by the way, did I tell you they're allergic to penicillin? Out of nowhere, you've got a new complication. But what next? How do you approach the septic patient with an allergy? How do you go about treating that patient, and how do you follow them up? We hope to answer these questions in this Allergy Sepsis podcast. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Paediatric Sepsis podcast series brought to you by the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health and the team from the Great North Children's Hospital, with guest speakers from all over the country. My name is Emma Lim, and I'm a general paediatric consultant at the Great North Children's Hospital. Hello from Monica and Johnny from the Mixed Desk, and we'll be addressing some of the hottest topics in paediatric sepsis. You're unlucky to get sepsis, but you are double unlucky if you get sepsis and you already have an antibiotic allergy. So in this section, I want to cover penicillin allergy, real or no real. Penicillin allergy, cross-reactivity with other antibiotics, alternative choices, and penicillin delabeling. To answer these questions, I'd like to introduce my colleague and friend, and one of the only people who is actually shorter than me, Dr. Louise Michaelis. Like me, Louise has had a nomadic existence. We worked together in London, Southampton, and now in Newcastle upon Tyne. Louise is a lecturer and consultant in paediatric allergy at the Great North Children's Hospital. Welcome, Louise. So, the big question, penicillin allergy. How common is true penicillin allergy?
Hello, Emma, and thank you indeed for having me to talk today. It is great to be with you again. So, yes, absolutely, this is a hot topic, is it not? So how common is common? What we would say is that less than 10 to 20% is perhaps a true estimate of penicillin allergy.
I think one of the things, or one of my bugbears, is parents say, oh, my child was allergic, my child vomited or had diarrhea with that antibiotic. But what is the real difference between a drug side effect and a drug allergy?
Very clear. And I think this is the thing that would be great for everyone to understand. So what we are asking for is what is true IgE-mediated allergy. So by that, we mean an urticarial nettle-type rash, swelling, usually of the face and tongue, collapse or wheeze. This is IgE-mediated symptoms.
Do you want to actually describe what urticarial rashes really look like?
So what we'll ask the children, especially in the clinic, is this rash itchy, number one? Number two, does it resolve with antihistamine? Because if it doesn't, and it keeps going for 3 days, this is viral. And number three, an urticarial rash is red with a periphery and it's white in the centre with a raised blister of fluid. That is different to erythema or a rash from a viral infection, which has a flat centre and a red margin.
So we've talked about drug allergies and specific urticarial rashes. What other things are typical for an IgE-mediated allergic reaction? So a rash, and what else?
And what's really, really important is to make sure we don't miss the anaphylaxis. Anaphylaxis is shortness of breath, difficulty in breathing, and low blood pressure. Everybody could maybe have a skin rash, they might have vomiting, they might have lip swelling or facial swelling, but the key to anaphylaxis is the sudden drop in blood pressure, difficulty in breathing, chest compromise, for instance, and collapse. In children, the most common presentation for anaphylaxis is airway compromise.
We've talked about how you might recognise a drug allergy. So how do we know, if we think back to that original case, So the child with a non-specific rash who's had a couple of doses of penicillin and has been labelled penicillin allergic. Now, Louise, imagine this same child comes into the paediatric emergency department and they're feverish and they're shocked and we want to treat them for sepsis. What is the risk of giving that child IV cephalosporins in this situation? So we're not sure if they're truly penicillin allergic or not.
So the risk we would say when you don't know if they have true penicillin allergy is 20% cross-sensitization to the cephalosporins. So that's high enough not to take the risk. So any child who presents with a proposed penicillin allergy should not get cephalosporins.
So I think that's really clear. If you are in resus and you have a child who has potential sepsis, who has a history that may or may not be allergy, you don't give them cephalosporins.
Correct.
So when you're thinking about a safe alternative in the situation where you've got a shocked child who's possibly allergic to penicillin, what would you consider doing, Louise?
What I'd consider in these situations is phone your friend, your best friend microbiologist, see what is on your guidelines. But in a situation where you cannot have time to check for that, there are many alternatives. So aztreonam, and for others, we would consider meropenem.
Remember, you can get more information on eLearning for Healthcare's sepsis program, www.e-lfh.org.uk, and there is a special program for sepsis.
This podcast was brought to you by MediSense Medical Education. Learn medicine differently through podcasts, games, videos, role plays, and more at www.medisense.org.uk.
Moving on, I think if we go back to that child that we thought about at the beginning, Louise, with the rash, I want to talk about penicillin delabeling. What does penicillin delabeling actually mean?
In our simple terms, it's taking away the label of penicillin allergy and reviewing that child for a very clear clinical allergy-focused history, investigating and confirming or refuting whether they have penicillin allergy.
And how do you do it? What kind of tests do you do to see if a child is truly allergic to penicillin?
We take, again, the clearly focused allergy history. And from that, we would think about skin prick testing on a drug challenge unit. So we'd bring all the children in together and we would do skin testing to the major and minor determinants of the beta-lactam family. If those were positive, we would go no further forward. And we would bring that child back at a teenage years for what we call intradermal testing. If that child has negative skin prick tests, we go ahead and we give an oral dose of the beta-lactam drug. If we have a clear history that it is viral, associated with fever, diarrhea, and so forth, we would give one dose, watch them on the unit for an observed 1 to 2 hours, and then let them finish the course. If, however, there's any history of swelling, then they get a graded challenge and then they stay longer on the unit and then they are also then discharged, all being well, to complete the course of antibiotic.
Fantastic. So in summary, when you're trying to delabel children with a penicillin allergy, first of all, you always need a good history. You then bring them in for skin prick testing. If that is negative or normal, you might move on to an oral penicillin challenge, which is one dose if you think they just had a virus, or a graded challenge if there was any risk of a serious reaction. If they fail the skin prick test, they come back for intradermal testing as a teenager. Louise, I think that's so important because in the scenario of paediatric sepsis, you have a child who's seriously unwell, who's possibly already shocked, who's got a huge systemic inflammatory responses and is being given multiple drugs. So they're really at risk of a really bad allergic reaction.
And I think this is where the NICE guidance for what is allergy is important. So is there documentation in those notes of a drug allergy, the dose, the brand, the type, perhaps the route it was given, and is it a very clear signature that this was witnessed and the date? If we see that in the notes, then we have a very clear outline.
So I'm just going to take you back. if you see a child who's had penicillin and they think they're having an allergic reaction, what do you want?
If a severe allergic reaction is happening, it's APLS. You shout for help, you call your friends, and you note exactly what has happened. So again, a very, very clear allergy history here.
I just want to ask you specifically, how common is cephalosporin cross-reactivity if you have a known penicillin allergy?
We would say 1 in 5 children, 20% of children, will have allergy to a cephalosporin if they're already known to have a beta-lactam allergy.
As an allergist, what are your top 3 tips when somebody is referring a patient to you?
What we'd love to see in our allergy referrals is a very clear allergy-focused history, number one. Number two, whether it was associated with a viral infection, so fever, diarrhea, vomiting, soft rash. And number three, whether they've had a penicillin before. We'd love to know the brand and the type of drug given and the dose.
Perfect. We've really concentrated on penicillin because penicillin allergies are so important. Louise, we've just talked about drug allergy being so common, really, in the paediatric population. And obviously, if every single child with a rash came to you, you would just be swamped. So who are the children with possible drug allergies that you would really, really like to see?
Indeed, Emma, absolutely. I think the complex cases are the ones we must see in tertiary care. So these are children high risk of complex diseases, so transplant. Any child who will need long courses of antibiotics for the future. A child who has recurrent infection that we know is sensitive to the beta-lactam group and needs those drugs. Those children who have chronic dependency on an antibiotic, so the cystic fibrosis group. These are children who in adult life will go on, some more so than others, to develop an antibiotic allergy. So it's important we get that right when they're children. So I'd say my top three for those that we want to be referred are those with complex disease, those that will need an antibiotic for their treatment, and thirdly, those where the history just doesn't fit. What else might it be? Because if we don't delabel these children, we are setting them up for second and third line antibiotics, further resistance. And as we've been hearing today, this is not the way we want to go.
So I'd just like to say thank you very much and goodbye from me, Emma Lim.
And goodbye from me, Louise Michaelis.
This is the Paediatric Sepsis Podcast Series brought to you by the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health and the Great North Children's Hospital. And thank you to our guest speakers.
The Paediatric Sepsis Podcast Series was brought to you by the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health and Medisense, with support from Health Education England.